It is the Batter Up Podcast for the 14th of July, the week of the 14th of July. Willie P, Joe Patrick, Caleb Johnson. You know, it's funny how when the world of sports gets started again and everything else gets started, we had Atlanta United start, we have the Braves starting soon, and some of these other things falling into focus. I feel like I haven't had a lot of time with you guys, so this is nice to get an opportunity to see you. Hello, Joseph.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same, Will. Like, after no sports, now we're just inundated with them, or at least I am. So it's been good, though. I'm not complaining.
Hello, Caleb Johnson. I know that I took the baton from you earlier this morning. I hope everything's all right with you.
I'll get into a little bit of why this is kind of an odd day for me, but I'm here and excited to talk about a little baseball.
We're excited to talk some baseball. We actually got to see some baseball for the first time on Monday and even a little bit at the end of last week. Granted, it was from high home cameras, and I know the production value probably lacked a lot of what a lot of Braves fans were expecting to see on Monday night.
Rough.
And it was hard to kind of glean anything out of Monday night scrimmage, but Mike Soroka looked good. You had two hits from Marcell Ozuna. Travis d'Arnaud goes deep. Christian Pache gives us all a little quick scare, but he seems to be okay. I think, Joe, if you look at some of the particulars, all it really does right now is it kind of really puts a big microscope on some of the real important parts of this team's success upcoming in this season. And I think chief among them is Marcell Ozuna.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that he's going to have a big role to play in terms of, especially when you think about the position he's filling with kind of trying to step into the shoes of what Josh Donaldson was and what meant for this team last year. I do want to say regarding the game last night, it kind of, the camera angles reminded me of when you like played the baseball game on your TI-83 calculator in math class. It's like it zooms out to that camera angle.
Yes.
That's what it was really bringing back. Making me feel nostalgic there about that. But yeah, Ozuna's going to be a big factor this season. I'm starting to get really excited about a lot of these guys we're able to see. I think Christian Pache obviously had a big night, had that injury scare, but sounds like he's going to be fine. And I think that it's Pache season, baby. Let's go. Get him on the roster. Get him on the roster, Snit.
I know that one of the things you wanted to touch on, Caleb, was the pitching and the effects of Team Dad Cole Hamels still kind of being on the shelf.
Yeah, so obviously we found out the news today, or not today, this week, that he's going to be delayed some time based on, what was it, tendonitis, I think, that he's...
The tricep.
Tendonitis that he's dealing with. My problem is that, and it was something that we didn't exactly have time to address last week, he said something on July 3rd, his first time getting in front of Braves media. He said something that just gave me a cause for concern of how we got to the point now where he's not ready to start the season.
It did change just because once the season got put on hold, we changed up our workouts to where it was 4 to 5 days a week opposed to 7 days a week. And there was a couple grace days in there with travel. So it kind of stretched out my rehab process, I guess you could say. I think if I would have been able to do it where the season was going, I know I probably would have been pretty confident that I would have been ready by the end of May and really been able to do that. But now, just because we kind of extended it, you look at it now, it's into July. So, it kind of added about a month and a half. That's about 45 extra days that we kind of stretched out because we weren't in a rush.
So, did you guys catch that? The fact that because we hit this pandemic and baseball stopped momentarily for these weeks while everyone was trying to figure out how we get the game back going safely, Cole Hamels somehow went from 7 days a week of rehabbing to 4 to 5 days a week rehabbing and pushed his start date to the end of July, which is now going to be pushed back even further because he's dealing with tendonitis.
Yeah.
Okay, so you had about the same response that I did, where when he said this live, I was thinking to myself, Cole, I don't know that I would have said that
right
first. No. Uh, just because, well, so there's kind of two parts of this. Either you were going to, because he said he was going to be rushing to get back at the end of May had baseball been going on normally, which mm-hmm. that major red flag to me. You are an older pitcher. Let's be honest with where he's at, you know, age-wise. He's an older guy. He's had injuries before, and you're telling me you are going to rush to get back to start the season. So no telling what could have happened later down the road, an injury pop up like this tendonitis kind of thing, whatever. But then he decided to slow down the process by just a couple of days, and that is now delaying, you know, where things are at now. I'm so confused and uncomfortable with the plan.
I'm going to take a stab. So as an older pitcher, I think he has a better grip on what he needs in order to get ready for a season. For a younger pitcher, you might be kind of in the lab, almost in the sense that Mike Soroka was yesterday. You know, I feel like there's a lot more that you have to do with less experience in order to try and figure out how do I get my certain pitches working? Am I working on anything new? I think Cole Hamels is very much a finished canvas right now. He knows what he is at his age. So he probably doesn't need the kind of time that some of these other pitchers on the Braves staff would need. And I also feel like, you know, there might not be as much expected from these pitchers early on. Like, they're going to basically kind of have their hands held through this first 2 to 4 week period when it comes to being stretched out and when it comes to whether or not you're going to have guys going more than 3 or 4 innings. Although, if you listen to Brian Snitker, the four guys who look like they've kind of had some run over the course of this first little bit of spring training, guys like Soroka and Tomlin and Fried, you know, those guys might actually be fully stretched out to around 5, 6, 7 innings by the time we get to a week from Friday and your starting games on the 24th of July. So I share your concerns, Caleb. I think that you need Cole Hamels to be able to be an effective pitcher, to be available in order for this team to want to do what it wants to do in the 2020 season. I won't join the level of concern, but I will say that I'm watching it with extreme caution, Joe.
Yeah, totally. I remember when he said that, and I always just assumed there was a physiotherapeutic reason for it that I was unaware of, or that I just assumed to be kind of the proper protocol in terms of building yourself, building your strength back up, and not wanting to go too hard, I guess, you know, too soon. But yeah, it's not great with the timing here. And I will say, you know, we've given Alex Anthopoulos a ton of credit for pretty much every move that he's made since he's come to the Braves organization. And I do just think this is maybe one of them where not that Hamels was like misscouted or anything like that. I mean, I think that the logic behind signing someone like him made a lot of sense. But I do just wonder, like, were they actually aware of the injury situation? Obviously, he had some stuff that happened last year. But it was not affecting, that was not related to his arm. And so far, it's not great that we've heard he had a shoulder injury and now tricep inflammation or tendonitis. To me, that's like elbow, you know, like that's what I'm kind of feeling like it is. Or that's kind of the area, the joint that it would be affecting. So not good to have something affecting your shoulder and your tricep.
Isn't that flirting with Tommy John type stuff?
I don't know if that's the same. Again, I know it's all part of the kinetic chain. I don't know if that's the same type of deal when it comes to when it comes to that. I think it's more along the lines of a muscle back here, that kind of thing.
I will say I would not or I'm not going to be one to criticize Hamill's general fitness level, because when we've talked to him in Zooms, like, he looks
he looks
like lean and in really good shape. But again, with pitchers, it all comes down to what shape is the arm in, you know.
Muscle inflammation is not usually, again, muscle inflammation is not the same as ligament inflammation. One can cause the other, but I think it's premature or not appropriate to make that leap as of yet. But And even Tommy John for somebody that late in their career is not exactly something you want to go down to that particular realm of thinking. I think we now kind of have a good idea where the Braves are in terms of splitting up the 30-man roster. Here is manager Brian Snitker on just how that process is going.
Well, I'm hoping we got enough, you know, healthy guys to take 30 right now. So, you know, we're not sure yet, whether it be 17, 13, you know, 16, 14. I'd probably, you know, lean on 17, 13 starting out, especially for that first 20-day stretch.
That is a little bit from Brian Snitker. Don't you get a feeling that he's kind of a little exasperated a little bit from the way that this all has started, the fact that he hasn't gotten his four COVID-positive guys back, and this is, I think, again, like we said earlier in the summer, this is going to be a how do teams limit the speed bumps and manage the speed bumps that will be this very peculiar season.
I've just been thinking about this recently with all this stuff that has happened with the Braves, especially with their starting pitching, which we always expected to kind of be the one area of the team that was generally solid, right? Like, that was the area of the team where you felt like there was a lot of depth there. And I think that despite everything that's happened, the Braves are kind of buoyed a little bit by that depth that they have, and that they have some guys that are able to come into these situations. And I've been thinking about how other teams are dealing with this. Unfortunately, I don't have the brain mental capacity to follow with a lot of up close what a lot of other teams in the league are dealing with, but I got to imagine that this is a big issue not just in the Braves organization but around the league. And I think the Braves are kind of they have some solace in the fact that they've got some of these young pitchers, even a guy like a Bryce Wilson, for example, or an Ian Anderson, that aren't guys you expected to actually, you know, contribute a lot at the major league level going into the season, but at least you have that kind of talent in that's ready to go. When you talk about the Braves and kind of the talent that they've had in their pipeline, a lot, like, kind of not the criticism of it, but just kind of the warning sign has been that a lot of it's top heavy. Like, the system is top heavy with a lot of talent that's ready to potentially contribute at the major league level, not as much at the low end of the talent pipeline. And I think that actually that's benefiting the Braves in this situation where they have some guys who can step in and fill roles that maybe they aren't really ready for, but we're going to get a chance to see them at least. And they're going to kind of go through a crucible this season. We're going to see how effective they're able to be at this level.
You know, one thing I'll kind of piggyback off the idea of the fact that the Braves are essentially going to see some of their younger talent, what they can do. I think this goes back a little bit to, we wondered weeks ago, we talked about Alex Anthopoulos and him making some moves and him being in a win now mentality, even though it's a shortened season and all these kinds of things. And it's interesting how just a couple of weeks can essentially change that mindset, where I now think Alex has gone from a win now, you know, we don't care that it's a shortened season, we want to bring a championship to Atlanta, to having to kind of not reshape that focus, but realize, hey, we're not going to go out here and, now that Freddie is out, go make a blockbuster trade for somebody else. Like, we're going to see what we have here and just kind of feel things out, because there could be something that goes wrong next week where we're having to look and make another move to fill, you know, to plug that hole, essentially. And it's interesting how the mindset has kind of changed as we go from, yes, the Braves want to win a championship, but at this point, they're just trying to field a team that we can hope be competitive.
Yeah, I'm going to take that a step further, Caleb, because, you know, I thought about a lot of what Alex said with that statement about how we plan to be active at the trade deadline. And I feel like that was something that at the time I wasn't totally buying, just because of the fact that I thought a lot of teams, like you said, would want to see a full complement, a full season of what exactly we have amongst the team-owned guys. But I feel like necessity might create chaos. And I feel like there might be some chaos on the trade market when it comes to by the time we get to the end of August. Like you said, there could be teams like the Braves with needs. You could find out that, hey, we don't have nearly enough starting pitching. We got to go get another one. Or the bullpen makeover didn't go as originally scheduled, which I know would drive Braves fans absolutely batty because of the fact that we've tried to remake this bullpen two or three different times within the last year. And I also feel like, you know, if you want to go get a bat, especially with the universal DH, that could be a need that necessitates itself over the course of the first month and change of the season. I feel like we are going to see a very active season. I don't want to sit here and say that we're going to have a lot of player movement between teams, but I do think that you're probably going to see general managers take chances they would not normally take in a regular season because of the fact that even though you really kind of have nothing to lose, if you gain a championship or if you gain a pennant or if you gain some sort of accolade that your team has not previously gotten, like the Braves have kind of been on this little ceiling where they haven't gotten past the league division series. If they can get past that level, that's a feather in Anthopoulos's cap, and I think he understands that.
Sure, sure. Again, it's like the Astros thing, and I think that over time, yeah, if you could have success this year, every team's playing under the same rules, and over time, people, if you are able to accomplish something like that, like you were talking about, Will, then people aren't going to necessarily hold it against you the fact that it maybe happened in this really strange season. I do just want to kind of emphasize how interested I am in how the trade market is going to unfold this season. I feel like it's going to be really difficult early in the season to actually make any of these deals because of the fact that the season is so short. If you were a team like, well, let's just say like the Marlins, nobody's realistically thinking the Marlins have any chance, and they probably don't. They've got a really difficult schedule, all that stuff. But they do have some young talent, and, like, you know, what if they get off to a really, really hot start? You know, like, then it's like, whoa, maybe we can actually get a wild card spot. You know, like, when you with the season being as short as it is, it's going to be so volatile, and I think that teams are going to at least wait to see if they think they have a realistic chance before they start to deal players. Now, that's always the case to an extent, but I feel like in a normal season, you're able to, like, some teams just kind of know where they are in the pecking order. Over 162 games, they've got no shot. So they might be willing to deal players a little bit earlier. I've seen, like, a guy like Josh Bell from the Pirates, first baseman, being mentioned. Obviously, the Braves aren't going to be able to, like, go grab him. But you know, like, players like that, like, would players like that be available? Does it matter? Is this season changing anything because of just how crazy of a situation it is as to whether they're available or more available or less available than they would be in a normal year?
Could I couch it this way? Do you think that if one particular contender moves, that could spur activity from the others?
Absolutely. I think that's kind of always, you know, if someone who we consider to be a championship contender goes out and makes a big splash, other teams will look to follow. Whether they'll actually make a move or not would be another story. However, I think the one thing, I was on a couple of weeks ago that, you know, Anthopoulos is all in. He's going to be making moves. Other teams are going to be making moves. But as we get closer to the start of a season that is so uncertain, where the, you know, the Braves are missing valuable guys that you don't, you know, other teams don't know whether they want to give up players or not. And then we don't know if we're going to finish the season. I mean, I know we're all optimistic that things are going to be just fine, you know, and college football is going to play to some extent. And the NFL is going to get started to some extent. And, you know, the NBA is going to get their bubble going and all of these kinds of things, and that's a very optimistic view to have, but we don't know that the season's going to finish. And so why would any general manager make a move for a player that he might not be able to utilize to their full extent? I don't see a lot of activity happening.
Shaking my head. Caleb trying to cancel the season once again.
I'm sorry, man. Look, it's just...
No, you're right. I mean, you're totally right. It's a totally valid point to make. I like to give you crap about that. No, it's true. And the other thing about the trade situation, the landscape of making transactions between teams right now is that everybody kind of has the same needs, right? Like everybody in the NL is looking for that extra hitter to fill the DH spot. Everybody needs more starting pitching. Everybody needs more relievers that can go multiple innings. So when everybody has the same need, there's not necessarily the supply for it, unless you coming from your own system. So I think that that's where the Braves are actually a little bit better off maybe than some other teams, where they've got to kind of have some of those players for this specific situation where you need hitters to step up to fill the DH. I think the Braves have plenty of guys who can do that. And the Braves also have some of these young guys that we've talked about that could come in and potentially pitch for them.
In our final couple of minutes, guys, I know that, like I said, it's hard not being able to see it in front of us as far as whether or not there are certain guys we're looking towards over the course of this final kind of week to 10 days before the season starts that we're looking for as far as the input. I'll give you one of mine. Travis d'Arnaud is a guy who I would say has had the kind of career, I don't want to say it's misunderstood, but it's hard to evaluate because of the fact that he has just had so much of his time on the disabled list. And when he's been in the lineup, he hasn't necessarily been a defensive liability, but his bat has certainly been a big part of the teams he's been on. I mean, he helped Tampa Bay Rays go to a big playoff run down the stretch of the season. And I do think that if he can, and again, depending on how they go and platoon the catching position for the Braves, you know, I don't know how they're going to split the duties, especially with so little off days. But if he can play 30, 35 games and hit 280, that's something that I don't think this lineup has had at the catching position, at least consistently. I know that Flowers is somebody who you think of as not really the best receiver. We talk about that a lot when it comes to him, but if you can get kind of a solid rock behind the plate, depending on how he learns the pitching rotation and the different pitchers on this team, I feel like that's an undervalued asset if you can get that position solid.
Totally agree. It's one of those underrated signings that was made this offseason, and I give Alex Anthopoulos a lot of credit for kind of finding this signing. Because it is a really nice compliment to what they had. And I think it's like you were kind of talking about there, Will. I think it's going to be, you know, an upgrade over what you had last season, despite the fact that we all love Brian McCann, you know, Braves, totally. Kind of a Braves legend. But you're going to get way more production now out of d'Arnaud. And you do wonder if he could actually start to even maybe get a little bit more of the share of at-bats just because his bat is so valuable. And if he can stay healthy, I think that it's going to prove to be that way. Instead of it being more of a 50-50 split with Flowers. Of course, at the catcher position, you always have to worry about how they're feeling physically because, you know, all the games on their knees and that kind of thing. But I totally agree with you. And it's really been great to see him show some of that pop that he's got with the bat. I think that, you know, he's a guy who we've all talked about Marcelo Ozuna batting fourth, and that's clearly what's going to be the case as we head into the season. But I wouldn't be shocked if d'Arnaud plays himself into that spot in the batting order over time, especially like I'm kind of down on Ozuna right now. But maybe it's because I haven't really seen him much in person play yet. But
I had two hits yesterday,
yeah,
Joseph.
He was good yesterday. He was improving. I'm more colored by his spring. The original, right. The initial spring that he had was quite poor.
You. Fair, very fair.
But I think d'Arnaud could prove to be like, not the, obviously not like the MVP of this team, but like kind of like the player who gives you way more value than maybe you were expecting.
Most overvalued player.
Yeah, I mean, I would dare I say compare him to the signing of Kurt Suzuki a couple of years ago, where a guy that you were just expecting to be a body to fill a role and ended up stepping up, you know, rather well. I'm hoping, you know, Will, you were saying, I hope you get 30 to 35 starts out of him. I would push as many up, you know, 35 plus to keep. Look, I like Tyler Flowers as a person. And that is one of those you have to divide. He's a pleasant guy to talk to in the locker room.
This is something you never do. You always allow your personal characteristics about a guy to affect your opinion about them on the field.
Yeah, I always do that. and so to I just want to see him as little as possible behind the plate. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's just, it's the truth. I get, and honestly, I'm cool with Darnold because I was trying to remember. I was trying to rack my brain. There was a couple of flashy catcher, not prospects, but free agents or trade options that the Braves had that they, of course, you know, balked at and ended up going with Darnold. And I feel like he's one of those guys who please surprise us and end up being, you know, a really valuable part of this team and stay healthy. Because if he goes down, man, that's we're going to have a rough fall.
He needs to stay healthy, that's for sure.
The top catching free agents from last year, if this helps you, Caleb, I think Yasmani Grandal was there.
He was the big one, and I actually heard...
He went to the White Sox?
He went to the White Sox, yeah. Okay. And I kind of heard through the grapevine that the Braves were not enamored with him because of the personality fit within the clubhouse. I think that was a kind of an issue for the Braves, and they've always been, like, Alex Anthopoulos has always been very upfront about that, and that the players that they sign, not only do they want them to be productive ball players on the field, but it's very important for the organization to make sure that the guys they're bringing in are going to be good fits within the clubhouse. And so I think that, again, another reason I think Darnold was kind of a guy they really liked.
He's also one of the only two guys who got a multi-year deal amongst catchers, and it was 4 years, $73 million. So I don't think you were.
You
weren't paying that money for that guy. And the only other guy who got a multi-year contract, you guessed it, it was Travis Darnold, 2 years, $16 million. Would you have wanted Alex Avila, Robinson Chirinos?
Yeah, you wouldn't want to. I don't think you would have wanted to bring Cervelli back at. With the role becoming expanded, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm perfectly fine with Darnold. It was just one of those things that when the move was made, you're kind of like, all right, yeah, he's the guy. And now I'm kind of like, hey, step up a little bit, you know.
Now you've got me in a bad rabbit hole when it comes to
a two-year deal coming from Alex Anthopoulos is like a long-term blockbuster. Yeah,
that's almost like a marriage to some people.
Yeah,
what are you guys taking away from this idea that the Braves might have what is the role they're calling it, like a not a closer?
An opener?
Oh, an opener.
There we go. Yeah, I was like, it's not a starter, an opener. There we go.
I don't know if this season is the right season to go about doing that, but I'm not diametrically opposed to it, given your current situation when it comes to your starting pitching. I mean, I think about where the Braves' strengths are right now outside of their top two starters on their pitching staff. It's their bullpen. So, if maybe once every fifth day you have to piece together one of those type of games, I wouldn't go beyond to say that I'm above doing it. I know it makes a lot of the baseball purists go absolutely nuts, but I'm open to seeing what it looks like.
I will say this, the Braves at least have the personnel in the bullpen to feasibly be able to pull it off. The thing with an opener is that it can't just be like a throwaway bullpen pitcher. Like, it has to be somebody good because you're coming into the game to face the top of the order. Like, you know, it's not an easy task. So, the Braves do have guys, you know, you've got Shane Green, Mark Melanson, Tuki Toussaint when he comes back, who can go multiple innings. You know, you've got kind of quality there that could potentially be able to do it. I'm not certain that it works, but I would love to see it just as a baseball fan. I would be very interested. And I think that that's one of the intriguing things about this season in general is that we could see a lot of these kinds of things.
Well, I partly wanted to talk about it just because Gabe Burns of the AJC, you know, he's the one that wrote an article about it. And I found it entertaining and a bit funny, the fact that essentially Snit didn't deny it, but he didn't acknowledge it either. He was just kind of like, yeah, it might be something we do.
I think he admitted that they had discussed it.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that, like, this is no criticism of Gabe Burns, but it was like something that a bunch of people I saw all of a sudden run with that were like, oh, the Braves are going to have an opener. Yeah. And it was like, wait, no. Like, Snit just did his normal thing where he was like,
the funny thing with Snit is sometimes, like, if you see his words on paper, you might think he's, like, saying one thing or alluding to one thing. And then you hear it, like, him, like, actually say it. It's like, oh, okay. Like, he meant something totally, like, because he's so casual, you know, like, who knows what's going to come out of his mouth.
Yeah,
it might have been angry that Gabe tipped him off. Maybe, who knows?
Yeah, there's one thing that Brian Snicker, just kind of going off on a tangent here, something he does quite often that always like makes me giggle inside is like he'll say like, "That's something we do."
Yeah,
and I'm like, ah, doo doo.
Yeah, right.
I turn okay, into Chandler.
12-year-old.
Okay, Chandler. Let's talk to you about your duties. Duties.
I love Snit. He's so funny.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that I think is a good note to end on for today's Batter Up podcast. We'll be back with you next week when we hopefully, unlike Caleb's bad mojo.
No, guys. Yeah, so to stop you real quick, today is July 14th. I, months ago, bought plane tickets that I was supposed to be in Los Angeles sitting at the All-Star game right now.
Oh.
And it's supposed to be happening tonight, and it unfortunately has been canceled. It's also the 2-year anniversary, if you even really look at anniversaries, of me proposing to my wife. So it's like it's like partly a good day because like cool, there's a fun memory, but then also like I was supposed to be in LA right now, and instead I'm going old NASCAR and going up to Bristol this week. So yeah, I mean my life has had quite the flip-flop from expecting to be in L.A. right now.
I'm sorry I don't look like your wife or like the infield at Dodger Stadium. You're stuck with me.
At least he shaved for you.
Yeah.
See? There you go. There you go. Trust me, this is not staying very long. This clean-shaven face is going away. For those of you who can't see it on our Batter Up podcast, I normally am wearing a beard. But over the weekend, I do this about once a year. I shave my beard just to get it some sun, get it some moisturizer, make sure that there's no pimples or anything bad. Stop laughing. Don't
laugh.
No,
it's just like we officially got weird. Like, Will said pimples, and so, yep. We did it, guys. Made it weird.
Be sure to subscribe to the Batter Up Podcast wherever you get your podcast. Download the radio.com app. Be sure to follow Joe on Twitter at JAPatrick200 and Caleb at ATLJohnson18. I am at Willie P Style. This has been the Batter Up Podcast. For Joe Patrick, Caleb Johnson, I'm Will Pelagic. It is a 92.9 The Game Radio.com exclusive. Batter Up.